RN and ABC Jazz are giving you the chance to attend one of Australia's premier jazz events, the 2015 Wangaratta Festival of Jazz and Blues. The prize includes two Gold Pass tickets, 3 nights accommodation and flights for two from your nearest capital city. For your chance to travel to Jazz Country for 4 days of jazz, blues and high country hospitality, head to the RN homepage and look for Wangaratta.
Oh, hello. I hope you brought cheese.
Time to retire to the drawing room.
Now, we're going to sort a few things out this evening. Big questions for you. Here's one. Should Australia bomb Syria? Do people smugglers fund terrorists? What's the difference between Sunni and Shia Muslims? And what's Vegemite got to do with it all? That's what I want to know. I think we can probably agree most Australians are a little bit underinformed around a lot of these issues. And what's a response to that? Should we perhaps teach Middle Eastern studies at high school? That's a possibility. Dr. Denis Dragovic is an adjunct lecturer in international development at the University of Melbourne. Rehan Ismail is an associate lecturer at the ANU's College of Arts and Social Sciences. Welcome both.
Thank you.
Now, these are our challenges this evening, to shed some light, to bring clarity around some of these issues. Because, Rehan, they're very much part of our public conversation, but I think you'd have to say it's not particularly well-informed public conversation.
I think I absolutely agree. It's very difficult when it comes to the Middle East. There's so many issues, so many conflicts when it comes to the region. I think it's important to educate and inform the public regarding the issues and the complexities of the region and also Islam as a religion.
I wonder, though, I mean, there's a question there as to how much the public wants to be informed and how much the public wants to, you know, respond to the immediate local politics. They can be different things, can't they?
In many ways, people want to know what's happening in the Middle East. When you have the former Prime Minister arguing that it's important for us to be part and to be involved in the Middle East, I think the public would want to know what's happening before we decide and participate in the conflicts in the Middle East. We need to be more informed of what's happening.
Which we could say, Denis, about a whole range of policy areas, I guess. It's just that this one is perhaps more complicated than some. But there's not many ways in which the Australian public on those big public issues is totally across all the issues.
No, and they can't be. I don't think Middle East is particularly unique in any shape, way or form, because the South China Sea, the issues over the construction of forward operating bases of the Chinese Navy and Army is just as complicated an issue, just as many regional countries are involved and it affects their economies of so many other countries. To me, understanding the Middle East is important only because at the moment it is such a large humanitarian crisis. We are at war in effectively two countries. There are issues there that are related to democracy and human rights that I think we can't ignore. So for those reasons, it's important to be across it.
But does that surprise you? I mean, we are at war, as you say, in a couple of places, with Australian service people in mortal peril, and we're having an effect. We're bombing in Syria and in Iraq. That could be causing goodness knows what sort of consequence. And yet those are decisions made without full public consultation of this country.
That aspect, absolutely. I was surprised when we were considering expanding aerial operations over Syria beyond Iraq, as it was the decision made a couple weeks ago, and there wasn't much public debate. There were a few articles here and there on the morality of it and the legality of it, but it's so much more. And not to be engaging the public in deploying soldiers is just amazing to me. And I can give you an example. I used to work as an aid worker in Iraq for 3 years. During that period, I would look every opportunity I had to look at the news and see what's happening in Australia, looking towards the Middle East. And because we didn't have troops on the ground at that time, there was very little coverage. It was as if it was forgotten. As long as there aren't any deaths or there aren't any collateral effects hitting Australians directly, there is no engagement with it.
How do we keep up with it, Rehan, too? I mean, it's one thing to say that the Australian public should be across these issues just this week. Now, suddenly, we're saying that we should be on side with the Assad regime, potentially, in Syria. This is a 180-degree change of position within the space of days. It's a very fluid set of relationships in the Middle East, and to expect people to be across all that is a tough ask.
Absolutely. I think it is very difficult. However, if I may add, when it comes to Australia and other Western countries, I think we need to be more careful when dealing with the conflict. You need a regional solution. Western countries, and particularly, you know, Australia and the United States, we can play an important role by encouraging regional powers to take a more active role. For example, if you look at Saudi Arabia, it's more concerned with bombing Yemen than dealing with the situation or dealing with ISIS. If you look at Iraq, for example, or Iran for that matter, Iran has the potential to play a positive role when dealing with Iraqi militias and encouraging the Iraqi government to actually be more inclusive when dealing with Sunnis in Iraq.
Yes. Part of the problem is that we're simplifying the challenges. So it's always this either or. When you look at the Israel-Palestinian conflict, it's either or. You have to be on one side or another. If you change sides halfway through, you're seen as being duplicitous or not across the issues or not staying with your tribe or community. And the complexity of these issues is so much deeper. And so I think it's incumbent upon academics, people in the media and commentators to drill down a little bit deeper to educate the Australian population on the complexities rather than just trying to say you're either on this side or you're on that side.
And being schooled in those complexities, the Australian population might sort of resolve, as Rahan suggests there, that the best response for us is to walk away in an empathetic manner, to leave that to people in the region to sort their own responses.
And so be it. I disagree with that, but at least it's an informed decision that brings the public, the population, with the decisions. At the moment, you have decisions being made that are divorced from the people. And I would say it's the same with the conflict in Afghanistan and Iraq, where we sent soldiers in, but most people in Australian communities didn't really feel that we were at war. And we don't feel like we're at war today. There's no hit to the pocket. There's no additional taxation. There's no sense that we're at war in any way, shape, or form.
Which lets us go very lightly into that situation without any sort of sense of consequence.
So sure, let's bomb another country. There's nobody grassroots standing up and saying, well, hang on, what are the complexities behind all this and should we be doing it?
Rehan Ismail is from the ANU. Dennis Dragovich is from the University of Melbourne. What do we do about getting a better informed conversation in Australia around, well, many issues in international relations, but specifically tonight looking at the Middle East? And Rehan, what's a path to this? Is there something we can do in education in this country, something we can do perhaps in schools?
When it comes to schools, it's good if we introduced Middle Eastern studies, for example. However, whether we have the necessary funding for that, that's going to be a difficult issue because at the moment we don't have many academics who specialize on Middle Eastern studies, let alone to train our teachers to deal with Middle Eastern issues. So I think that's one factor that we have to look at before introducing Middle Eastern studies. Islam as a religion, that's quite important to be understood. The complexities of Islam as a religion, that's something that we need to educate people. At the moment, people don't understand much about Islam. There's so many misconceptions. You also have politicians who are very active in denouncing Islam, not understanding the diverse nature of Islam, that Islam is a religion practiced by almost 1.5 billion Muslims.
And yet by very, very few Australians as a proportion of the entire population. I mean, there's an interesting issue of scale here that we have single-digit percentages of people of the Islam faith in this country, and yet as part of our public conversation, it is way and beyond that, which is an interesting issue with introducing that sort of study, for example, into schools as to why that is so unrepresentatively represented.
Well, there are around 200,000, 220,000 people of North African Arab descent in Australia, or born there, not descent, sorry. So that's a very small population. As far as Muslim believers, there are fewer than there are Buddhists. But to me, I disagree with Rehan in that I don't think we should be introducing additional education in schools on the Middle East. But I do agree with her that educating on world religions is important. One of the critical things that I just mentioned now that blocks this ability for us to engage on the question of Islam is the slogan, six-word slogan of Islam is a religion of peace. And as soon as you disagree with it, you are shut down. And yet it's such a complex question to be asking mm-hmm. that needs further engagement. As Rehan said, 1.5 billion believers, many different perspectives, many different ways
like of any religion, it contains
absolutely.
Multitudes.
But we can't just stop at saying, for example, in Buddhism also, that Buddhism is a religion of peace.
Yes.
In Myanmar, in Burma at the moment, the Buddhists are using their theologies to justify their actions against the Rohingya.
Which points to us, if we're looking at education in this country, and it points to a deficiency in curiosity, a broad state in our education where we find these things difficult and remote, and there's no real encouragement to gain just that general perspective and a sense of curious understanding of the world.
I think it extends beyond that also. Even when I know a number of people who worked in the fashion industry in Milan or Wall Street in the United States, they come back to Australia and there isn't that curiosity or respect or acknowledgement of the lessons learned, the value of their insights from being overseas. It's very much insular still, not only in curiosity looking outside, but technical expertise and ability to contribute in the workforce. It would be great if there was a much broader engagement, not just in the education sector, but in the corporate sector as well.
There's a big issue there, Rehan, is there not, of Australia's insularity and its reluctance to engage fully in the world, and that a more open engagement would begin to sort a lot of these issues of understanding and knowledge.
I think that's absolutely right. Many Australians are more fascinated with what's happening in Europe. People look at what's happening in the Middle East, all they see is conflict. And that's something that, you know, we need to correct, because the Middle East as a region is diverse, it's rich in traditions and culture. Understanding the heritage as well plays an important role.
But at the same time, Rehan, you can't blame people for looking at the map of the Middle East and saying there's conflict in Libya, for whatever role we played in it or not. Egypt has had a change of leadership, including a death sentence put against the last president. Yemen is falling
apart. But many great stories. I mean, I know it's very difficult when you look at the Middle East and all you see is conflict, but Tunisia is a good example of a functioning and a working democracy. They still have a long way to go, but people hardly focus on Tunisia, for example, or Morocco.
And yet during the Arab Spring, there was great attention focused on stories of extraordinary positivity across the Arab world. It's not as if there is a disinclination to look at the things that are positive, I suspect, from this distance. It's perhaps that they get overwhelmed by the negative.
Yes, absolutely. That's a very important point to make. However, when you look at the Gulf region, for example, Qatar, UAE, and you have so many Australians living and working in the UAE, and they've got positive experiences as well. I understand that when you look at the Middle East, it's very difficult for you to say that the region is doing well. However, there are many great stories that we have to focus on as well, to capitalize so that we see that the region has potential.
And I guess, Dennis, there's an issue in our local politics too, to make very broad characterizations of behavior. When we talk about death cults, for example, it's not actually admitting a great deal of nuance into the conversation.
No, that's right. And I think it's the fault of politicians for not engaging in more detail and recognising the intelligence of the community that they're speaking to, in part. But also, on the flip side, we don't want to go too much detail. So talking about a death cult, Islamic State is an apocalyptic cult that does see the life to come as being more important than the life that we lead. So in a sense, it is true, but it's just so simplistic, you're right, that we should be trying to engage a little bit deeper in that.
Which hasn't got us to the entire question on Vegemite, which disappoints me. which is interesting. I mean, it sounds flippant, but as a characterization of misunderstanding, that we can have this conversation about halal certification, about your purchase of Vegemite funds terrorism. That sort of thing can only breed in terms of ignorance. There's no way that an informed culture could have that misunderstanding.
Absolutely. It's interesting, because when it comes to halal certification, it's for export purposes as well. However, there's so many allegations, and these are unverified allegations. And yet, I think the media plays an important role as well in correcting some of these allegations.
And Dennis, just on a final point, we talk a lot about sort of academic outreach and engagement with communities now. And this sort of area is a real case in point where people in academia with expertise, with knowledge, have a very constructive social role to play.
Oh, absolutely, and they should be engaging. The problem in general, though, with academics, and I've got one foot in that field, is that the complexities are so overwhelming, it's hard for them then to go in the opposite direction actually and simplify it. Well, then you have politicians who are simplifying it too much. So it requires a bit of compromise on both sides. I would love to see more academics speaking, but in a way that's accessible to people.
I guess that requiring the journalistic intermediary sometimes is an advantage.
Right.
Look, thank you both. I mean, so much in that as an area, but I think we've pointed to some of the complexity, perhaps without resolving that to everyone's satisfaction. But another day. Dennis Dragovic is an adjunct lecturer in international development at the University of Melbourne. Rehan Ismail is an associate lecturer at the ANU's College of Arts and Social Sciences.